You can preach a message from that, from this hymn. I preach a message from that first verse. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth. Glimpses. We know in part. We preach in part. No. Place in my hands a wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. You know, the world holds the truth. They have a Bible in their hand. We're set free. You know the truth, you make you free. Truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We hold the truth. We hold to it. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Christ said, this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up. Spirit divine. Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove. John chapter 9. John 9. Great, that was a great hymn. Clara Scott wrote that. Know nothing about her. Maybe I'll meet her someday. John chapter 9. This is a familiar story, one we've looked at together many times, one you've heard other men preach from many times. Story of our Lord healing a blind man. And many lessons to learn here, truth taught here. But here's what our Lord said, verses 39 through 41. This is the truth being taught here. Our Lord said, for judgment I'm come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Pharisees which were with him heard these words, said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. That's what our Lord is saying. You must be blind to see. What a paradox the truth is. Must be blind to see. You know, someone who's truly blind doesn't know what it's like to see. I mean, can't see anything. Blind means no light. Fanny Crosby, who wrote so many hymns, could see nothing. There's no light, no light whatsoever. To be truly blind means you can't see anything. So you don't know what light is. You're blind. You can't see anything. You don't know you're blind. It's like when you're deaf, you can't hear anything. You can't hear anything. You don't know somebody speaks to you, you can't hear them. You don't know you're deaf until you're given ears to hear. You didn't realize. You see what I'm saying? You didn't realize. I was deaf for years. I didn't hear the words of the book. Didn't hear a thing. Like I see in the faces of some. Preach and preach and preach. They don't hear a thing. And one day I did. You? Is that you? One day I heard. I watched a video one time of a young child that was born deaf, a little baby, girl. And they put one of these cochlear implants in her, you know. And when they finally turned it on, they gave that child into her mother. And her mother spoke to her. And her baby's face just changed. You know, she was crying and laughing at the same time. She could hear her mother's voice. And these things meant nothing to me. Nothing. But my heavenly Father said, give him ears. You don't know you're deaf till you give it ears. You don't know you're blind. You don't know you're lame till you walk. You don't know you're a leper John and I were talking about that down in that whale's belly. You know, that Jonah was really in that. He was a man. He was in that belly. And it, you know what was in that? You know how vile it was in that whale's belly? Dead fish. Vomited. The Lord vomited him out. Boy, he wanted out of that bad. Why? It stunk. I've been there. You've got to realize just how bad it all smells, how filthy and vile to want out. And it's going to be a vile thing when the Lord rids you out of it. It's a blessing of it. It's a blessing to be vile, to realize this world is vile. It's a blessing. You don't know you're blind until you see. You don't know you're a leper till you're cleansed. You don't know you're dead till you're alive. If you ever are, if you ever alive, made alive, if you ever made to see, you know who did it. This man, who did it? He did it. Man named Jesus. We may look at this twice because there's two stories here. Okay? This is the story of salvation. This man represents all of us at sea. This also represents a man who got religion and got the change of, you know, change his ways and all of that, and he didn't know Christ. He didn't know Christ to the end. So we may look at it twice. I don't know. But it begins with verse 1, and, as Jesus passed by. And, another unfortunate, should I use that word? I don't like that word. Another bad chapter division. And, verse 59 of the previous chapter says that these Pharisees took up stones to cast at him. Just before that, they were taking up stones to cast at the sinner. Now they're going to take up stones to cast at her Savior. And he hid himself. See that? He went right through the middle of them. Hid himself from them. Oh, how blind people are to who Christ is. And he went out of the temple. Christ is not in religion today. He's not there. You read with me in Isaiah 29, didn't you? Did you read that with me? Aerial, aerial, he keep multiplying sacrifice. He draw near with the lips and all that. That's all through the Bible, all through every book. Religion's everywhere. In a form of godliness, deny the power thereof. Power of God, power of Christ, and the preaching is his power. And it says he went out of the temple and going through the midst of them. He was right in the middle of them, and he passed by. Passed by. Says that many times, doesn't it? He passed by. He passed by. The Lord passes by so many people. We're going to sing after this, "Pass Me Not." We're going to end this service, "Pass Me Not." Oh, that someone pray that from their heart. "Pass Me Not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others I are called, do not pass me by." He won't if you like Bartimaeus. So have mercy on me. He won't. He'll stop. He'll call you. Give you eyes to see. Were these people calling on him? Don't go. Don't leave. No. Get out of here. Those disciples on the road to Emmaus, he made as though he was going to pass by. He said, "Don't go." Is that the way you feel about the gospel here in this place? Don't go. We know you're going to leave eventually. But don't go, please. My child doesn't know you yet. Don't pass us by. Oh, what a message there is. He passed by. Went right through the middle of them. They didn't know. Didn't call. Didn't cry. He passed by. But verse 1 says, he saw a man. He saw a man. Blind from his birth. The Lord's walking Where's he going? When he passed by them, he left the temple, walked out of that temple, and he's heading out of town. Where's he going? There's a man he's coming to see. He's coming to see a man. He's going to see him. He saw a man. You know, this is my salvation. You sister. That man didn't see Christ coming. He couldn't see. Bless God, bless Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ laid eyes on him. Christ looked at him. I believe what happened here. Let's see, they're walking, these disciples are with him. Oh, I don't know how many, several. And they're with him, and they're walking along, and he purposely walked by. There were many blind people. There were blind people everywhere. Okay? Like Bartimaeus, people would bring their blind relatives out and sit them on the corner, and they'd beg for alms, for money, you know. Still goes on today. That's how blind people get where they are. Go out of Mexico, and it's really just like this. We've seen people just like Bartimaeus, in rags, on the street, in the dirt, in the filth, blind, no eyes, and a little cup or something. Sad. Somebody had to bring them out there and send them. Yeah. And our Lord, as many of them everywhere, okay, and our Lord purposely walked in this direction because he was always, he said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. All that the Father giveth me, my lost sheep, I will find them. And he purposely walked out of that town, and there's a man sitting there, and he saw him. He looked on him. He might have stopped. Did he give him something? I don't know. I don't know. I doubt it. He could have. You see, the Lord could have given this man $1,000 right there. He didn't give him a dime. That's not what he needs. And he walked on by. Okay? And the disciples are talking to him. And they said in verse 2, disciples asked and say, Master, who did sin that this man or his parents that he was born blind? They're walking along. The Lord made as though he was going to go on. Lord, who did sin? Master, who did sin this man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, listen to me now. You'll get some great comfort out of this. See, our Lord, if he hadn't looked upon this man, he would never have saw him. He would never have been healed. He would never have been saved. And the Lord took notice of this blind man. He doesn't need this blind man. What's he need with a blind man? What's he need with me? Nothing. Nothing. But he did. He took note of this man. And, you know, the Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did see, any that did understand, any that did call on God. He said, no, they're all together become what? Filthy. There's none that understand. There's none that calleth on God. Isaiah 59, there's none that calleth the truth. None. Not one. None will. None do unless God sends the gospel in power and opens blind eyes and deaf ears. None will call. None will hear. None will see. You wouldn't have, and your children won't. But they must hear this gospel, isn't it? And that's our responsibilities, to get them to hear this gospel. If within our power at all, we must do that. All right, like these people brought this blind man for on. But our Lord saw this man, and he was blind from birth, and all people are. We're all born blind. Blind to God. Though the heavens declare his glory, firm, it's all clear. Clear, isn't it? If you have eyes, we're blind to the truth. When the Lord reveals the truth to you, you say, that's it, isn't it? That's the truth, isn't it? But the world just doesn't see it that way. That's your opinion. No, it's not my opinion at all. That's what he says here. You know, it was Brother Henry Sword one time. Brother Henry Sword was reading Romans 9 to his sister. And he had a few sisters, I think, didn't he? You tell me. But anyway, he's reading to one of them, Romans 9. And she said, I don't believe that. He said, I'm just reading God's word to you. She said, but I don't believe it like you read it. That's what it says. When he opens your eyes, that's what it says. I believe it. It's true. Truth of God's word, the truth about God, the truth about man. When he opens your eyes to see who God is, you'll fear God. You'll fear God. If he opens your eyes to see what you are, you'll fear God. You'll say, oh, wretched man that I am. If he opens your eyes to see this world for what it is, you'll want out. You won't save from it. He opens your eyes to see that the God of this world has this whole world in his grasp. You'll see, help, save us from the, deliver us from the evil one. If he opens your eyes to see eternity, to see his salvation, to see eternal life, what that means. It's not just the duration of it, it's the quality of it. We were talking about holiness and righteousness and goodness and love and mercy and where God is and God's people are wholesome. Does that appeal to you? A land wherein dwelleth righteousness. Does that appeal to you? Doesn't to this world. Nothing about that appeals to anybody in this world except those that are not of it. You've got to open your eyes. You're born blind. I know a couple who wants nothing more for their daughter than for her to see the whole world. I want our daughters to see Christ. I want our daughters to see this world as it really is. I want our daughters to be delivered from this world. You don't have to go out of Franklin County to see what the world is like. It's just as vile in here as it is in Italy and all those places. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't. Oh, we need to see other cultures. Let me tell you about other cultures. They're filthy. No God. Well, but the food. That's good food. You can't. I've had food, the best food in all of Paris, France, but it doesn't hold a candle to Doris Mahan's taters and beans. And you tell me, is it not so? Irene Davis. You don't have to go to France to get good food. I'm telling you the truth. What I want for your daughters and for mine is that they might see Christ. He might deliver them from this world. Because if they go out in that world, they might like it. Right? I don't want them to see it. I don't want them to like it. I want them delivered from it. Is that right? Open our eyes. Well, they asked, listen to this. This will help you. They said, who sinned that this man was blind, born blind? A child is born, he's born blind. And his mother may think, well, if I hadn't have eaten this or eaten that, if I hadn't done this, I hadn't done that, if I hadn't, you know, well, it's a medicine they took. Well, blame it on this, or we'll sue this company. Child gets sick and dies. Well, if only I did this, you know, all this sudden infant death trouble. If only I'd have turned them over. If only I'd have done this. If only I'd have done that. No. No. Mm-mm. My son's in prison. If only I'd have done this. No. No. That ain't it. You know, we're told how to raise our children. And we should. Train them up the way they should go when they're old and not depart from it. And you see some parents raising a child and he, you know, grows up an obedient son and so on and so forth. And the parents are to be commended. They are. They did what the Lord told them. They raised that child right. Right? Right? That's right. And here's another one that set a bad example. And he visits the iniquity of the children upon the fathers, whatever the fathers and mothers do. That's what the children are pretty much going to repeat. Right? That's right. But the way it all turns out, whose cause? The Lord. The Lord, yeah. That's comfort for you. David had 19 sons. As far as I know, he had two of them were believers. Did he raise them up in the church house? He sure did. That's what he should have done. But how they turn out is of the Lord. 100%. You can't save their souls. You can't damn their souls. And what they do, God's not taking it out on you. What he does to them, he's not taking it out on you. Ezekiel 18, Deuteronomy 24, he says, the children will not suffer, be punished for the iniquity of their fathers, or vice versa. No, sir. Every person is going to be dealt with personally by the Lord. And we blame ourselves, and we should. But the way they turn out is of the Lord. Completely. Samuel had two sons, they were both lost. Eli had two sons, they were both loved. And on it goes. We can't take credit for their salvation, and brothers and sisters, you're not going to take the blame for their damnation. And somehow, in some way, when it's all over, you're going to see and know as you've been known, and you're going to say amen. And you're going to bless God. You're going to say he's right. He's right. It's just a miracle. He saves me. You won't blame God. You give him all the glory. You hear me? Neither. He said in verse 3, neither this man or his parents, but the works of God should be made manifest in him. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. This man didn't sin, his parents didn't sin, but that he's blind, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Anybody who's dead and given life, God's going to get the glory for them. Anyone who's dead and trespasses in sin and have been quickened, God's going to get the glory for them. Anyone who's blind and now they see, God's going to get the glory for them. That the works of God may be manifest in him. He said, I must work, verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. Christ came to do this work, didn't he? The work is his. Salvation is of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's completely his work. We say that, don't we? Why? Because it's so. That's why we call on him. And what I just said, you bring your children to hear the gospel. Okay? You must. Don't take them to see the world. Bring them here and sit them in this pew. Okay? If it's within your power at all, you bring them here to hear them. You talk to them. Deuteronomy says, talk to them while you're walking, while you're sitting. Talk to them about the God. That's what the Lord tells you to do. That's your purpose in life. That's why he's given you children. Not to see that they have the best food and the best clothes and the best houses and all that. No! To teach them, to bring them up in the nurture and the fear of the Lord. That's your purpose for having children. You hear me? That's so. My son-in-law, before they had children, he asked the Lord, don't give us children if they're not, don't belong to you. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Seriously. But now, so bring them and talk to them and all that. But when it's all said and done, there's nothing you can say or do that's going to convince them. This is why I said, pray without ceasing. Call. Job said, could be my children haven't called on you. What's he going to do, Job? I'm going to call for them. And he did, didn't he? He never quit. Lord, have mercy on him. So, the salvation is of the Lord, you know. Do what he tells you to do. But when it's all said and done, it's Christ is going to have to say it, and Christ is going to have to do it. I must work the works. That's why we call on the Lord. That's why I hate modern religion. It does all these tricks and tactics. Right now, I got all this trick and treat and treat and trump all the crap. They're inviting kids all. There's no mention of God, no mention of Christ. You know, come, food, fun, family. They're trying to sneak them in and get a profession of faith out of them. Well, I wouldn't let my children go to one of these false places for nothing. Because they're going to get a false profession out of it. It's evil. It'll be twofold more of the child of hell than they were to begin with. Oh, but when it's all, you know, Christ is going to have to do the work. He's going to have to do the work. It's not of us, it's Him. Christ came to do the work. What's the work that Christ came to do? What did the Father send Him to do? Huh? Save His people from their sin. Save them from this world. He came to do that work of redemption on Calvary's tree. And when He was a 12-year-old boy, He said that. His first words out of His mouth as a human being, He said, I must work the works of my Father. Came to save His people from their sin. And it's His work, not ours. And the last words that He said as a human being on this earth, when He was crucified, He said, it is finished. He finished the work. Finished the work of redemption for His people. It's finished. You know what? I love this. Psalm 92, David said this, I will triumph in the works of thy hands. I am so glad that I'm in His hands. My times are in His hands. My salvation's in His hands. My soul's in His hands. Aren't you glad? In good hands. He said, I'll triumph in the works of thy hand. He said in Isaiah 26, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought all our works for us. I'm so glad. What makes religion mad makes me exceedingly glad. And salvation is of the Lord. Ask Jonah. Now, I'm not going to get out of this filthy, vile place if the Lord doesn't speak the word. The Lord spoke the word and vomited him. As long as I'm in the world, verse 5, he says, I am the light of the world. We live in a dark place, don't we? The gospel's still here, isn't it? The gospel's the light. Gospel's the power of God. Christ is the gospel's power of it, nothing else. He's still here. I have reason to believe that the Lord is yet going to save someone that's in darkness through this means. Why? Gospel's still coming. They're still here. That gives me hope for your children and for some people around here. Look at this, and you'll love this. Verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground. Spit. Made clay of spittle. You and I think of spit, we think of something vile, don't we? Well, whatever comes out of man's mouth, it is. That's why we think of it so as such. But it's moisture. It's something wonderful. Have you ever been without moisture in your mouth? Sure you have. After surgery or in sick or whatever, you have no moisture. David said, my moisture's dried up. I can't. It's awful. Isn't it? What do you need? Water. Okay? But whatever comes out of man's mouth, and this is what man did when God came down here. When the Lord Jesus Christ stood before him, you know what they did? They spit in his face. That's the worst thing you could do to another person. It's the worst show of contempt and hatred. I'm going to draw up the dregs of filth in my mouth, and I'm going to just spit in your face. Oh, that's horrible. Sickens you to think of it. What if somebody did that to me in front of you? What would you think? What if they did it to your son? What if they did it to your wife? What would you do, John? They did it to God's son. Our God's merciful. All right, here's the difference between man and the God-man. You know what comes out of his mouth?
Mercy. Grace. You know what came out of his mouth? Healing. Love. Grace poured, really.
The spit that came out of him healed this man. What is it going to take to open the blind eyes of our children? Something that comes from the mouth of God. The Word of God. That's what it's going to take. The Lord, this is not the only time He did it. He did it to a man in Mark 7. He did it to a man in Mark 8. He took spit from his mouth in Mark 7 and touched the man's tongue. The man was deaf. He touched his tongue with the spit from Christ's mouth. And he spake. What did he say? Salvation to the Lord. Loosed his tongue. Then in Mark 8, he took spit and put them in this man's ears. He was deaf. Or his eyes. He touched his eyes. And he saw. How did he see? What came from the Lord's mouth? How are we going to see? What comes from the Lord's mouth? And he's going to have to do it. And he made clay. And anointed this man's eyes. Made clay. Dirt. Wet dirt. You know what we're going to see, the first thing we're going to see? He put this clay on his eyes, okay? Well, the first thing he saw really was clay. Dirt. What does that mean? He's the potter.
And the clay.
Dust thou art, dust just shalt return. I'm a vessel of clay. And then he saw Christ. I thought about this too. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. No, clay pots. Yeah. How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except to be sent? Nobody's going to hear, nobody's going to see without a preacher preaching the gospel of Christ. Nobody. Not one example in this scripture. Not one. Right? That's right. There's a group of people up in New Jersey that many of them have had their blind eyes opened by a man named
Clay. Clay.
Oh, he's just a man. He's just from Arkansas. Anything good come out of Arkansas? The gospel did. I'm going there this week. Oh, that's going all the way to Lewisburg, Arkansas. And ain't nothing there but catfish and gospel. I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. Would you, Mindy? A man named Darvin. Clay pot. Open blind eyes. Not in the temple. Outside the camp. Out on the side of the road in the dust and the dirt and the red clay of Franklin County in Arkansas. Open a blind eyes. He said, verse 7, go wash in the pool of Siloam. That's the king's pool. Hezekiah is the one that dug it. It means sent. King Hezekiah dug these conduits and made this pool right in there in Jerusalem. Beautiful pool. And the waters flowed so softly. He's the one that brought water from that pool that people could just rest in and lay by. The quiet, soft waters.
Isaiah talks about the soft waters. Siloam.
And water came from that pool, conduits to all the people. And you see what all that's about? You know, the church where Christ is, like the pool of Bethesda, the house of kindness, pool sent, gospel sent, where God's people are blind and halt and lame and withered and come and lay, and Christ comes and he anoints it's soft water, leads us beside the still water, restores our soul. Restores our knees. He did. That's what he did. He said, go wash. Go. There's a place. See what Christ did? There's a place. Go down there. You go down there and you wash there. That's where you wash. And you'll see. You'll see. There's a place where the gospel is being preached. Yes, there is. It's not everywhere. It's not everywhere. Where is it? Well, it's right down there on a little hill outside of town and go there. And you'll see. And you did, didn't you? Why? How? The Lord gave you the command. You wouldn't have gone. You wouldn't have come, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have washed. And I know this has reference to baptism. There's a pool. And you need to get in it. And you'll see. You'll see. Oh, bless God's holy name. Oh, bless Him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, if you're blind, oh, may the Lord open your eyes. If He has, get in that pool. Confess Him who did it. Okay. John, you come. Pass me not. Number what? 235?